Hello, everyone. Hello, loved ones. Welcome to Infinite Love Radio. Enlightening conversations, inspiring guests. I'm Michelle Morovati, your host. I'm a spiritual healer, teacher, and author of 101 Transformational Insights for Mind, Body, and Soul. My global vision is to connect people to people to create oneness. And through support and universal guidance, educate people just like you about the power within to heal oneself and others. Simply, I am here to love myself and to love you all. You can learn more about me by visiting www.spiritualityinsideandout.com. As always, I invite all of your questions, comments, and suggestions to infiniteloveradio@yahoo.com or michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. Today and every day, my intention, my highest intention, is to support you to awaken to your true self in the present moment and to cause and create oneness inside and out. Thank you for your participation and for this opportunity for me to serve you. Really, honestly, thank you for this opportunity. I love you. On today's show, I will be sharing with you a prayer, just like always, followed by our special inspiring creative guest, Dr. Therese Rowley, PhD. Therese Rowley is a skilled, intuitive, dynamic speaker, management consultant, and innovative educator. Over the last 25 years, Dr. Rowley has used her intuitive gifts in transformational readings and healing for conscious adults, as well as in leadership, development, and strategic organizational change. She has also contributed to understanding children diagnosed with learning disorders as intuitively gifted and is the executive producer of a DVD entitled The Misdiagnosis of Gifted Children. Her clients range from Fortune 100 companies to individuals devoted to their spiritual path. To learn more about Dr. Therese, please visit www.therese.rowley.com. That's THERESERowley.com. We shall hear all about her amazing experiences right after this prayer, as I invite all of you to join us in this moment, in this present moment. I invite you to take several deep cleansing breaths with me. Let's go. One, take a deep cleansing breath in. And exhale with an ah. Are you feeling tense? Are you feeling anxious? Are you feeling sad? Are you present? I invite you to take another deep cleansing breath in. And again, exhale with an ah. Releasing tension in your mind. Tension in your shoulders, in your neck, in your arms, in your legs, throughout your whole body, allowing yourself to be in the now, in the present with us, enjoying us. Again, I invite you to take another deep cleansing breath in. And again, exhale with an ah. Ah, you're so worth this relaxation in the present. You're so valued as a human being. As a child of God, child of the divine, child of the universe, as the child within your heart, your own heart, you're so valued. Taking this opportunity to value yourself for who you really are, a magnificent, open-hearted being. Wherever you are in your life, wherever you are, whatever challenge, experience you're experiencing, you are wonderful. You are still good. You are still worthy, and you can move forward under all conditions. This is my guidance for you today. And in this moment, as we put our hands on our hearts, acknowledging our hearts, with gratitude and appreciation for who we are and all of our blessings in this lifetime. For every blessing, inside and out, we are grateful as we choose to open up our hearts a little bit more, to experience what this life has in store for us, all the beauty, all the power in the present moment, all the magnificent connections as we open up our hearts to give and to receive, knowing that we are alive. We say yes to life. Yes to life, yes to ourselves, yes to our true selves, yes, as we are worthy, deserving, and valued for who we are as we claim it to be right here, right now. I invite you to take another deep cleansing breath in. And exhale again with an choosing to be present, choosing to be alive, choosing to be vibrant, choosing to open up your heart to what is in the present moment. As we rejoice and join with our guests, as we rejoice and join together, creating and causing oneness on this air, knowing that we are not alone. That God, the Divine, our true self, and these magnificent soul connections are eternally here in the now as we open up our eyes, our hearts, our ears, our true being, we notice this. And in this moment of gratitude, thank you for being present as we're going to have a wonderful show, an enlightening, inspiring, awakening show to help us, support us, move to the next level. As I reintroduce our special guest again, Dr. Therese Rowley, PhD, who is a skilled, intuitive, dynamic speaker, a management consultant, and innovative educator. She's dedicated to transforming the way people perceive, understand, and attend to their personal and professional lives by connecting them to their purpose, their truth, and to the God of their hearts. And with this, I say yes, welcoming Dr. Therese Rowley. Dr. Rowley,
hi,
welcome.
Michelle. Thank you. Good to be here.
Oh, thank you for being on this show. Thank you for your time. We really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Wonderful show.
Oh, thank you very much. So, Dr. Rowley, you are intuitive. You're a speaker. You're a consultant, educator. You're all that. And as well, you do readings for people. Now, for our listeners that may not know what readings are, can you please enlighten us?
Certainly. A reading is, and I really call it a session because it's both reading and information, as well as energetic healing and spiritual healing that comes through. So it's more than just reading information. But the bottom line is, and I'm always talking about bottom lines because I do a lot of business, the bottom line of a reading is that someone has a challenge and they feel stuck or they're at a crossroads or they don't know what's next. And the idea is to bring them in alignment with the God of their heart and to move out both the challenge and the energy and the kinds of belief systems and the cords and everything that is attaching them to the challenge. But the interesting thing about doing a reading is that when it comes through me to move energy out, it won't move an attachment someone has to a relationship or a situation. It won't move unless the wisdom has been articulated. In other words, someone drew that challenge in for a reason, and it's their artistic rendering of their soul lesson, and no one is going to be able to move that out, including them, until they really understand why they put it there in the first place, because they're brilliant. They put it there for a good reason. So the idea is to reveal that wisdom, and then they don't hold it the same way, and then their energy, they say it doesn't matter anymore. When it doesn't matter, they can just go to peace. So that's the purpose
right.
and the substance of reading.
So you create, you cause openings together?
Yes.
Together
well,
you...
Yes,
yes
and I set the stage with a prayer. And it's for their highest good and for the intention of their hearts to be done. And then the rest of it, I just basically talk. I see other lifetimes or other stories, I call them, where they are in a particular situation that relates to their challenge in this lifetime. And they find different aspects of themselves lighting up or where their attachment is. being emphasized in a way that they can now see, ah, that's the way I attach. And typically, I will get on a roll, and what comes through goes on all the way through the reading until it's finished, so they end up with different ways of looking at what they have, different stories, different healing, different ways they're healed, aligned, and feeling, ah, that way, or they feel energized, or they feel that they can no longer, they don't have to attach to something that they were attached to before. It's no longer interesting to them.
Right. And aren't we all attached? Attached to people, places, things, situations. We don't want to let it go. Dr. Zui, wonderful. For anyone individual that may be listening right now and going, okay, she said information coming through. Where is it coming through? From what source? Can you share with us?
Certainly. I believe it's through God, which or the universe or spirit, however you want to refer to that. And I've always had a special relationship. And in the prayer, I talk about Christ Buddha consciousness, which is a filter through which I look, which is compassionate neutrality. That's what it means to me, compassionate neutrality, that nobody's story, I cannot judge or be in any way attached to their story. I say, they're an artist, and I'm looking through their eyes at their own story and saying, sure, I see how you got twisted in your shorts there. I would too. And that kind of thing is, it's a compassionate neutrality, so it's Christ Buddha consciousness. And it comes right through from source, I guess, is the way to say it.
Beautiful, compassionate neutrality. And if we all had compassion for ourselves and others, I think we'd be too good, huh?
Wouldn't it be nice to find out?
My limiting self is thinking, no, this can't be. Everyone having compassion for themselves, right? The limiting self, limiting us. Oh, that's fantastic. And also you mentioned information coming from past lives. Now, I'm a believer because I've done many past lives on myself and really healed on many levels in this lifetime. Well, can you enlighten us further with past lives or any amazing, interesting stories that you have about past life clearing you can share with us?
Certainly. I had a gentleman call in and ask why his business was not going as well as it always had. And when I looked, I saw a part of him that wanted to do, and I expressed it this way and said, part of you wants to do big, bold colors, and you've been putting things in little, tiny categories. And I said to him, you know, you're brilliant, and both sides of your brain are alive, and I see that you had another lifetime, and I believe that you created the Duomo in Milan, Italy, that you were the designer that could do both the sculptures, which were amazingly big, and the space, and the beauty, and put it all together. I mean, amazing. And I said to him, I see your father is on the field, on his energy field. And I said, it looks like your father is, I can just kind of take him out. And then I said, oh no, your father has words on the field. And it says, you can't do that. That's all your father's saying, you can't do that. So I said, I don't know what that's about, but let's see if we can take that out. And I said to him, because of who you were in a past life and because of your brilliance in this one, I don't know why you're not an architect, because you've got both sides of your brain going so beautifully. And he said, may I tell you something? And I said, sure. He said, well, when I came home from college, I told my parents that I wanted to be an architect. And my father said, you can't do that. And so that's why he didn't become an architect. So we took his father out of his energy field, the attachment he had to that. And part of that reason he was calling that father in was because he was afraid of really putting his... He had another lifetime where he had put...
Hello?
Sorry, Michelle.
Oh, that's okay. Dear listeners, we just got cut off briefly. We're here. Hello,
so
Dr. Rowley.
That must be God's way of telling me I'm done with the story. God sometimes says, that's enough trees.
Oh, that's so hilarious. So what you're saying is that attachment to his father was a blockage. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and that one that he called in because he was afraid to use his beautiful gifts for other reasons. So there's other... It seems when I read that there are source lifetimes where someone started and said, I'm afraid to do this, and then created other lifetimes where they couldn't and said, gee, why doesn't God love me enough to let me do it? But it's because they felt unworthy at some point. And then they blocked themselves off, and then they attracted things that continued to block them. And then it looked like it came from the outside.
Right, right. And how important is self-worth, that we are so unconscious of how worthy we are, right? And we keep recreating negative, limiting patterns over and over again. So what you do is help and support us break these negative, right?
Yes. Yes, and it's soul. It's really soul level work. It's not psychological or just emotional. It's soul level, because once you understand what you're doing at a soul level, then everything else, it's the origin of all of the other manifestations. So then you can really let go, instead of
right.
let go for a little bit of time. Then cut back
sure.
again.
And from my understanding, you help and support and guide many business people these days, or was
yes.
it always?
Yes, I have since, for the last 25 years I've done really transformation in businesses. Oftentimes it's because a leader, and what I know about it is that the leader feels a soul call to move into another level of consciousness. That's not how they would put it. That's just how I would put it. And so they call and say, it's an industry is changing, my company's changing, we need a new plan, we need a new direction, or we need to transform in some way. And so then I help, and sometimes I say to the leader, well, we could work with you, or we could work with your organization. Either way, there's going to be a shift. So if I work with you, your organization will shift, because it's partly a drawing that you put up there to illustrate what's going on inside of you. So if you change inside, the law of the universe is as above, so below, as within, so without. If I change the relationship within me, I will change the manifestations that are around me. They won't be able to still stay the same, the old pattern.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That's why I'm such a big advocate on cleaning up inside, taking responsibility so that we can experience what we want in our outer world. We can stop blaming other people for whatever is going on, take responsibility. And with this, I say yes! I'm such an advocate on responsibility. Well, I got this after my healing of lupus. I really learned to be responsible for my thoughts, for my actions, for my words and my deeds. And stop blaming other people, you know, stop blaming life. That's where I'm coming from. And I really experienced how magnificent it is to go inside, clean up, and see what happens outside. And I really appreciate that. So, Dr. Ali, just taking this opportunity to introduce you to anyone that may have joined in. This is Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morvati, your host. We've been speaking to Dr. Therese Rowley, PhD, who is a skilled, intuitive, dynamic speaker. She's a management consultant and innovative educator. Her website is www.theriserowley.com. We've been talking about healing and reading and business and all of that, and we're moving next to my next question, Dr. Rowley, is I checked out your website. How magnificent, and I invite all the listeners to check it out. There's articles there. You have some articles on children with learning disabilities, which
yes.
you call them actually gifted or learning ordered?
Yes, they're labeled
yeah.
as disordered, but they're intuitive. So it's the misdiagnosis of gifted children.
Okay. I'm sure this information will cause many people out there going, what? I've been under the impression my child has ADD or my cousin or this or a friend or ADHD, but from your experience, you're saying they're gifted. Are all of them gifted?
Every child, every person is gifted. Every person
okay.
that God created is, and every creature is gifted in some very particular way. I believe that we're human beings because we have a suspicion that we're somehow separate from that spirit in some way. That's
right.
the reason that we're human beings, and that's what we have in common. That some little part of us thinks in some way that part of us can't be loved, or we're not quite worthy, or we're not quite enough, or we're not one, we're not the same as the infinite love of God. And so we come to explore that as a hypothesis as a human being. And then we decide, well, there's certain ways in which I believe I'm separate. Mine might be about independence or loyalty, and yours might be about relationship and whether I could be loved in a relationship. And we all have different aspects of love that we're studying, and that we give ourselves challenges about in this lifetime. And right now, we also have a collective consciousness that we create by our intentions and our thoughts. And we've created right now a very interesting, in this historical moment, a sort of interesting precipice together. And these children have come in as one, either a result of that, along with the challenges they're choosing to learn from, or they're coming in as those who have the gifts that can help us if we're wise enough to see beyond the box of our tradition to allow them to teach us about their gifts that can heal us. So that's what I found, and I started to do the research, and I started talking to children who were intuitive and saw that they had, quite frankly, some of the gifts that I have had since I was a child, which, you know, include being able to hear or see or sense or feel spirit, or being able to channel, or being able to have mystic experiences, or, you know, and some of these kids are bilocating. There's just an enormous interesting number of children who have these intuitive gifts on the rise. So that's what I began looking at.
Wow, that's so beautiful. Focusing on the positive, you know, enhancing the positive. You know, as a child, Dr. Rowley and the listeners, I was always very sensitive to noise, very sensitive to energy. And now as an adult, I really get it how it affected me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I would go out, I would come back sad, or I would go out and come back really tired or agitated.
Yes.
And I really didn't know what it is. Do you have that experience, or do you have it with your clients, this experience that people are sensitive to energies?
Absolutely, and I have done talks about this, because children who are sensitive are those who need to have diets that are close to the earth. In other words, that's why we talk about having organic food rather than sugared up diets, that processed food that their bodies don't recognize as natural, because they need to stay as close to the earth as possible, because that's where our healing originates as human beings. So one aspect is to have children with a very healthy, organic, and healthy fruits and vegetables diet, and take the sugar out, and take the caffeine out, and take the things that cause extra stimulation, because they're already super sensitive. And then, of course, you have the environment. You have to remember that the videos and the you know, the kinds of things that children are looking at today, that they have all around the stimulus, the Game Boys and the videos and the television. It's so much stimulus that even a normal person that wasn't sensitive would have. Some of us, you know, you go into those video arcade games and you could lose your mind just as a normal person. Imagine a sensitive person in that environment. So you clean up the environment so it's very soothing. You know, soothing environments, low, no violence. That's terrible for children that are sensitive, violence. It's a terrible thing. And do you know, the first time my daughter, I have a daughter from China, who's 4 years old, and the first time she saw Shrek and she saw Curious George, she said, too swelly. She meant too scary. So, you know, Curious George is too scary for her, because it has, you know, those elements. We don't think about that as scary. We think we have to go all the way to, you know, robots and Die Hard and blood before we think it's scary, because we're desensitized. But those children really need sensitive environments, to be sensitive to the food that they eat, and to be really respectful of how they process stimulus. You know,
right.
This is so funny. They're sitting in classrooms, yeah, and they're looking at a teacher, and they may see the teacher having, you know, some auric field. They may see something brown in their auric field, or they may see something going on in a dynamic energetically. They may be able to see energetically or feel someone's feelings. And the teacher says to them, hey, you're not paying attention. Well, they're paying attention more than the teacher is. They just have more modalities, more attention that they're paying than the average the person inside of a three-dimensional box. So
right.
We have to be careful how we label them.
Yes. So maybe you want to go into schools and educate the teachers about gifted children, huh?
Well, there is an organization called Supporting the Emotional Needs of Gifted Children, SENG, S-E-N-G, and the National Association of Gifted Children. And really what hasn't been done is to call intuitive gifts. Even those people in the organizations I've mentioned who are wonderful, and I've interviewed a lot of the experts from around the country on this, they're still skittish about children who have psychic abilities or intuitive abilities, or they're clairsentient, which means they can feel other people's feelings. And we need to start educating children, giving them an owner's manual for their gifts, right? If you had, if you knew it was a gift. I had a 14-year-old client who had headaches, migraines, and stomach aches, and she was on medication after medication, and I said, you know, take her off medication, and let's talk to her once a week, and we'll see what we can do. Well, she was picking up information on people who were going to die or future events that felt very awful to her, and she didn't know what to do with them. So she put them in her head and tried to figure it out, but she had no context. Or she felt them in her stomach, and she would get stomach aches. So she would hold on, and she would just contract over it. So what what we did together was to teach her how to use the gift of her third eye to ask the question when she felt that feeling, to first identify the feeling and how is it different from her own energy, and distinguish that, and then look at what's going on. Can you ask yourself, does that thing that I'm feeling, is that a neighbor? Is that a friend? Is it something in me, and is it something I need to do something about? And really use your own third eye to answer those questions in order to use your gift, and then pray for that person and let them go back to the light. Don't take that on. You know, you have the gift because it's meant to go back to the light. So that's kind of the training that I do with some of the kids and helping them to orient to their gifts.
That's beautiful. You know, in every talk, we go back again to going inside. We have all the information inside of ourselves. And if we could connect. You know, I have two children, 13 and 8. My daughter is highly intuitive. She talks about angels and all of that stuff, and I support her in that. No doubt, it always is. My son was intuitive, but God bless, you know, conditioning, school and environment, he's kind of getting detached from his intuitive self, you know. As we're speaking, I'm becoming more and more aware that I'm going to go after this show and remind him. I really get it, how as children we're so simple, we're so open, we're so natural, and as life, you know, with everything that goes on, we just lose sight of that. And I really appreciate your dedication and your commitment to supporting the children.
Well,
go ahead. Yes. No, go ahead.
I was going to say I'm hoping next year and the year after to create some camps for children with intuitive gifts so that they can learn the owner's manual for their gift. They can talk to each other that has someone that is good at being clairvoyant, which means clear seeing, and someone else who's clairaudient, which means clear hearing. So someone might hear voices and other people see pictures, and they can teach each other their gifts and then get mentors who know how to do that, who can show them what they've done with the gifts, and then connect them to opportunities in the world where they can actually use those gifts in service, which is what they were meant to do, and really have a place for them to develop that without any shame or without calling them disordered or without labeling them, but really having them be standing for the light and slaying their own fear and going after themselves, like, you know, with Jedi energy. And I'd really like to create a positive atmosphere for them to develop their gifts, just as though someone was good at math. You know, there's no difference. It's just the other side of the brain. And we have more of those children because we'll need more of those children, because the problems that we have on the planet cannot be solved with our logical brain, as much as we love the logical brain. It is not going to be sufficient for the kind of time, space, you know, how hurriedly we need to bring solutions to this planet and collaboration to support ourselves in spirit and consciousness on the earth. So I think that's why they're here. And so if we can honor that and help ourselves by trying to learn what they're about and also giving them the space and room and ways to learn, then we'll all be in a better place.
Absolutely. And what a difference you're making in all of our lives. I really appreciate it. And, you know, you're talking about labeling. We're always labeling each other, either it be by disease, by swearing. You know, I really realize that we cause one another to be what we are. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes,
you know.
And I think we do that because when we label something, it makes us think that we can have more control, and then we feel more comfortable. So it's kind of like when you have this terrible feeling in your stomach and the doctor says, oh, that's an ulcer. And instead of going, oh, no, you go, oh, good, now I know what it is. And now I can treat it, and now I'll treat it in this way. So there's more control, there's a box around it, it's more understandable. So in some ways, labeling helps to create conditions so that we can really delve into what that challenge is about at all levels, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. What is that about for us? What is that voice saying to us about what, you know, that's a hole in our self-esteem, or that's a hole in the way that we can't relate to something? So let's look at it and learn from our own wounds no matter whether we think we've called them in or not, let's learn from them and really mine the wisdom. And we can use labels that way, but when they begin to separate us, because the nature of a name and a label is to separate. That's the function of a label, is to separate one from the other, to make distinctions. But when we do that to the point where someone thinks that's their identity, then we've lost the rest of them, and we've lost the rest of ourselves.
Right. When I was diagnosed with lupus, honestly, that kind of became my identity. I have lupus. I have lupus. I have lupus. I lived it. I was it. I was being it. I dreamt it, you know, 24 hours a day. And it just made me weaker and weaker. I don't want to complain, but that was my experience. So this is disease, but we always do it. I mean, children label each other, you're stupid, you're no good, you're fat, you're short, you're tall, you're bald, you're this, you're that, right?
Yeah.
Just putting each other down, and thanks for bringing awareness. Dr. Rally, for the listeners who would like to contact you, what is the contact number or email that you can give out at this moment?
Well, my phone number is 773-404-8301. That's 773-404-8301. And my website is therese.com, which is hard to spell, therese.com, therese.com.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Taking this opportunity to reintroduce you, Dr. Rally. This is Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morvati. We've been talking to Dr. Therese Rally, who is a skilled intuitive speaker, a dynamic one, a management consultant, and an innovative educator for over 25 years. And we've been talking about the gifted children. We've talked about healing, taking responsibility. And now I wanted to ask Dr. Rally about her newest book called How Our Persistent Challenges Are Our Greatest Gifts. I love the title. It says it all.
Thank you.
Tell us more.
Well,
is this out already, Dr. Rally? Is this out? Is
no,
this
it's actually no. Actually, it's being it's on its way, but it's not out yet. And it's an accumulation of stories and also perspectives that can help us understand that when we run into something in life, and then we think we've dealt with it, and then it shows up again, and it's like, wait, I know I dealt with that. Why am I having this kind of problem again? Why am I having this kind of problem? And it keeps coming back and coming back. It's because it's our soul lesson. It's a lesson that we brought with us because we want to study, let's say, if it's something that here's an irritant, and what we want to do is practice compassion. And the only way that we're going to really resolve this situation is to be in compassion for someone that really irritates us that we don't feel we can possibly be in compassion for. But what happens is that person is representing a part of ourselves that we're having a hard time owning, and we don't think we should have to own that part, and we don't want to. So until we can apply that compassion, it won't subside. But guess what? We apply compassion, it subsides, and then maybe it comes back in, you know, a boss that we have. Let's say it's about loyalty, and that's our persistent, one of our persistent challenges. So we might experience our sister telling someone else about what we did that was very embarrassing and humiliating us. And so now we have to apply compassion. Am I ever going to speak to her again? How is this? And then we go to work, and we, years later after we deal with that and it's put to bed, we find out that our boss, who we love and we want to be so loyal to, is, you know, borrowing money from the treasury. Do we lose that relationship by telling on him? Do we tell him, and if he doesn't listen, what do we do? What does loyalty mean, and what is the price we're willing to pay for our truth? And each time it comes around, it just requires more of us. It doesn't go away. I think of the Dalai Lama and how he's all about peace, and look at where he is now. He's a linchpin between two nations in the world. He still deals with his own challenges around peace, around how do you stay in peaceful relationship with yourself and others when you have this horrendous torture and things like that. So he gets to deal with it at a global level because that's who he is as a presence and a person.
Yes. So that's what he can handle. That's what he can handle. That's where he is in his life right now. So I think we've lost Dr. Rally one more time.
Oh.
She's back. You're just magical. You're just magical. Boom, I'm out of here. Boom, I'm back. Oh, my God, that's so amazing. Dr. Rowley, okay, there's listeners out there, or they may have relatives, children, parents, friends, co-workers, whatever. Okay, they've been abused, okay, mentally, physically, emotionally. They've been robbed, okay? They've been tortured, whatever you want to call it. They're listening to you, and they're going, what is she talking about? Because I do have clients, and I do have my classes where we have an open discussion. I create a sacred space for people to spill out their guts, you know, empty out. And they always talk about, my ex-husband is doing this to me, my boss is doing this to me. In real estate, somebody, excuse my language, screwed me up, blah, 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 blah. I can't let it go. I don't want to let it go. This person is coming into my dreams, and, you know, you get it. So on and on and on. And when I speak of love and compassion, some are accepting and some are like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. How can I? What suggestions do you have?
Well, that is a very difficult situation. And mm-hmm. I have a lot of my clients come from a place of, I've worked very hard at this wound and I can't detach from it, because that's all about attachment. And what I believe is that that person is in their life to for a very particular reason, and not the same reason as somebody else's. Even if you have the same situation as someone else, you're here as an individual being. There's three aspects, I believe: uniqueness, unity, and connection. And we're here to really be in all three of those in dynamic tension. It's kind of like the Trinity. I have a uniqueness to myself and my stories. Even though they might look like someone else's, my stories are there for a different reason. And for example, when women can't get pregnant, and you find one person who can't forgive herself for an abortion and has really forgotten about that, or another woman who has decided that if she stays in the role of mother, she won't be able to really explore the rest of her personality, and she's always been in the role of a mother since she was little. So you have the same symptom. I'm infertile, but it's two different reasons. The same thing with abuse. I've had this abusive father, and they both have alcoholic fathers, but completely different soul reasons for it. So we can't ever assume that my uniqueness is like theirs. But there is a connection, which is the second part. There is a connection both with another person who has something in common, because they experience the same sometimes symptoms. Sometimes they have the same strategies for survival that I do. And then there's a oneness. That means that every part of this story somehow can be healed, and that's what the work is we're really here to do. What we're really here to do, the work of healing. So getting back to your real question here, first, honor your right to feel angry and your right to feel betrayed and your right to feel abandoned and abused, because that's real. As a human being, that's what we experience, and that's, you have every right to feel that. And allow that feeling and say hello to that feeling and treat yourself with that kind of dignity and respect. So that's the very first part. Never run over yourself and say, well, I shouldn't be feeling this because I'm a spiritual person. Well, we're here because we're human beings, and we're spiritual beings in a human costume, and we have designed it to feel those things. So that's the very first thing, is honor the situation, honor yourself. Now, if you hold the situation, this is one tool, in dynamic tension. In other words, you say, this may be something that's for my learning, and this might, and it's something that's very painful. So one of the things I do is I say, God, whoever the God is, the God of your heart is, spirit, thank you for this spiritual teacher. As you're thinking, I absolutely hate this person. And you're still mm-hmm. saying it anyway. So you're mm-hmm. saying, I really hate this person, spirit, I really hate this person, and thank you for this spiritual teacher. Now show me how he's a spiritual or she's a spiritual teacher in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a very powerful prayer. Because that, and you've just prayed something that will move mountains. Because you keep trusting, you just hate, and you say both at the same time, because they're both true for you. You don't say, oh, I'm a spiritual person, so I know they're a spiritual teacher, I'm just going to go there. That's just not truth. The truth of your human experience is you hate that person. That person's lied to you, stolen, betrayed you. You hate that person, or you dislike them, or you don't want them around, or you don't want to look at them. Say that then, but also
right.
say thank you, and see what happens.
Right.
That's the first. That's a very powerful tool.
I'm so aligned with what you just said. Because I don't have that prayer per se, but I always look at each individual as my teacher. And I went through some hardship. I'm divorced. Some hardship with my ex-husband, you know. But I really committed to seeing him as my teacher. I went inside, I cleaned up, I dealt with my emotions. I really invite people, instead of suppressing their hate, their anger, their resentment, go into a room where you know that you're safe and you're not going to harm anyone. Don't harm yourself, but just scream, get it out of your system. You know, punch a pillow or something, because from my experience, all of these negative, unwanted emotions are being stored in the body. They're all being stored in there, and they're going to manifest and create something in there, something rotten, you know? That's my experience. And the message that I want to give you all is that everything is possible because, you know, thank God that I'm, like, friends with my ex-husband now. And it's an amazing change and transformation in my life. You know, I'm very open, Dr. Rowley. Maybe you don't know. I just tell everything about my life here on the air because I just do. Because if I can make a difference in someone's life, knowing that things are possible when we're committed and when we, you know, listen to you or my story or someone else, knowing that we're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So when is your book coming out?
Well, I don't know yet. We're still looking at the publishers, so we can't figure that out yet, but hopefully by next year. So we're going to have to wait until next year, but I'm looking forward to it.
Beautiful, beautiful. So taking this opportunity again, you're listening to Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morovati. We're speaking to our guest, Dr. Therese Rowley, PhD, who is a skilled intuitive, a dynamic speaker. She's a management consultant and innovative educator, and her website is www.therese.rowley.com. So much to talk about here, you know, business, children, real life. You're covering all aspects, huh, Dr. Rowley? Yeah,
it's the oneness. One, aren't we? Isn't it something?
Yeah. It's the oneness. So tell us about, do people come to you asking advice on their life purpose? Like, they come to you and they say, I'm lost. What is my life purpose? Do I have one? Do I have more?
Yes.
What would you say?
Well, they do, but typically they come, why would someone ask that question? Something in their life has stimulated them to ask it, either because they're lost or something isn't working or they're not engaged or something stuck or they feel like they're on the verge of something. And that's mm-hmm. typically when that question shows up. So I always look at why did the question show up, and then we look at what's going on underneath the question. So, yes, everyone has a life purpose, but it is not. I've never seen the life purpose be join ABC Company and be an accountant for your life. I've never seen that as a life purpose in the thousands of readings that I've done, because I think sometimes, again, life purpose comes out of, I believe everyone shares the life purpose to understand that they are infinitely loved and one, that there is no one or another. There's no masculine, there's feminine, there's just one. And until we know that, we continue to be human beings until we get that that's the case. And sometimes I think people come back, I've really read people who are angels, who are here to just serve because they have gotten it. And lots of times people get it one aspect of love and they come back to learn something else. In other words, let me give you an example. Some people have been martyrs. Some people have died for their faith. Some people have told the truth and gotten their heads cut off for it. And they really understand telling the truth or sacrificing in a particular way, but they're interested in maybe learning about love in a different way. Maybe they want to learn about love through joy instead of sacrifice. And both of them will lead you to understand love better, because when you decide to learn about love, that's what you'll do, and you'll learn about it in whatever aspect you happen to be in. But I think that everybody is doing a particular life purpose, and sometimes I've had people come in and it looks like they're completing a path. They've been on this path for eons, and they're completing it. They're done. They're no longer going to look at the world, say, through the eyes of sacrifice or self-sacrifice, although they've learned a lot about love on that path. Now they're going to learn about perhaps resurrection energy, or they're going to learn about it from another way. So I think that purposes, the life purpose can change in a lifetime. I think that it is always about learning an aspect of love or a quality of love, and it depends on the person. And we're all here to study a different aspect.
Mm. I hear from some famous spiritual teachers saying that your life purpose is being present wherever you are, right where you are. That
yes.
is your life purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Another way of saying, right?
Yes. Yes, I believe so. However, I would add something to that. I understand that and I agree with it, because when you are one, that's all there is to do, is to stand in the oneness. However, I believe that we came in with our particular charisms or gifts. Some people are unbelievable at loving in relationship, and some people are unbelievably gifted at creating environments where people can feel loved. And people are, other people are, you know, everybody comes in with a very particular gift, and I sometimes feel that there is maybe less emphasis on those aspects of love, those ways that they come through. In other words, if God's expressing through all of us, then isn't that expression so beautifully unique in each of us? And to just acknowledge that, again, that unity, uniqueness, and connection, we can acknowledge we're all one, but then we're connected in very specific ways sometimes until we get mm-hmm. to the light where we're not different anymore. And then there's the uniqueness. So I think that the giftedness that each of us has is something that's a wonderful thing to acknowledge and celebrate so it can be brought to the table in service. And I don't think that should be short-shrifted just to try to, when people feel so, oh, I must be one and I shouldn't look at myself more than that. But I think every person does have that gift and that reason for being
right.
here.
I invite everyone to be open to their life purpose, open to possibilities, open to their creative self. I'm such a preacher. I was one in my past life. I just love people. I just love people.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I just love people. Dr. Rowley, so you do a lot of soul work. And another question that comes up is, do the loved ones, do the people that have passed on, transitioned, do they stay with us, or do they always go to the light? Are they always present with us? Can we get information? Can we get guidance
yes.
from them? If there's any listener out there who may be interested in this question.
Yes, I can. I have called in those who have passed. I use their name to call them in. I'm not a medium that sees people who have passed in my living room or something. If I do, I send them out. I say, I'll talk to you when I'm on the other side. But I typically call in when it has to do with someone's life purpose or their attachment. So there's been people who, someone in their family has committed suicide, or someone's passed on and they're very attached. And I found that people on the other side stay with people when they have contracts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so we've been speaking to Dr. Rowley. She decided to do her magic again and get offline.
Oh, am I back?
I was just saying you did your magic again, Dr. Rowley. You're really good.
Am I back?
Yes, you're back.
Oh, good. Oh, my goodness. See, I was talking about dead people, and here I was going offline dead on the air. I was just trying to model it. See, you can be here.
One minute I'm here, and then I'm not.
Yeah, it was dead air, but now it's back. See, that's how it works.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Oh, I just, it really has, I've noticed that I can bring in, when I bring in someone who's passed, I can bring in little charisms. I don't bring in people who have passed over in order for someone to know that if they pick up a pencil that that's them, or they see a butterfly and that's them. It's not just to know that they're okay on the other side. It's really to get information from them. Again, not where, you know, you left your checkbook in what drawer, but it's more soul-level information. In other words, why were you in that person's life, and what were they serving in yours, and how were you serving them, and what is it that you need to know in order to release that connection that maybe gets your energy stuck there so that you can move on? I've had a woman whose daughter was committed suicide. She actually called her and said, Mom, I took too many pills. I don't want to die. And by the time 911 got there, she was dead. So her mother was having such a hard time moving on after 2 years, and she was a school teacher. So we...
Dr. Rowley.
Yes,
this is a challenge for her. Okay, she's back.
Am I back? My goodness.
Yes, but our time is almost over, so
right.
Please don't do any more magic, Dr. Rowley. We enjoy your company here.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you very much. I'll try to
say. Just briefly closing with the young girl that committed suicide.
Yes, and it was really just to look at what was going on with the little girl and how she was thinking. And I told her mother she just didn't want anyone's help. And she was looking at some of these issues, and she was about two-thirds of the way done. And I gave her some specifics about what she was thinking about, and the mother said, that's exactly what my daughter would do, and that's how she would behave. So her mother got comfort in knowing that her daughter was working through it, and that she indeed was still learning and growing on the other side, and she wasn't in some terrible place. She was in the place of studying it in a very particular way. And so it's really to know that no matter what happens on this side, there's always growth and development on the other, and they're still with us. And there's contracts, and some people have them, and some people do move on because that's their contract or that's their purpose.
Beautiful, beautiful information. Thank you. Dr. Ali, before we close with this wonderful, informative, and really awakening interview here, I noticed that you have a couple of prayers on your website, and one is prayer for peace that I'm so aligned with. May the love of God heal you. May the sound of your own breath bring you peace. Just by reading this, I felt the peace. Did this come to you through your higher self, through your God self, this prayer?
Well, I pray all the time. I'm in constant conversation with the God of my heart, and we talk, and that sometimes that's just the gift that comes through. I'm a talker, and sometimes I listen to God. Most of the time I talk at God. But when I can listen, sometimes prayers come through. If I give God a chance, sometimes the prayers come through, and I'm very grateful for them.
Wow, beautiful. I invite the listeners to check out her website, www.therese.com. She has two other magnificent prayers which will really touch your heart, your God self, your true self, your whole being. Dr. Rally, before we close, do you have anything you wanted to say to the beautiful souls, beautiful individuals and listeners out there?
Well, I just want to say thank you for the privilege of being able to speak about this and speak to you. Thank you for the time. And to know that every single soul is a beautiful manifestation, unique manifestation of God's love, and that I very much appreciate being able to serve in any way I can. So thank you again for all of the time and the energy that we've had together today, and for all the listeners for their time and energy as well. God bless everyone. Mm.
Thank you very much, and blessings to you in this journey, in this lifetime, with love and light to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Take care.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you. And that's Infinite Love Radio for this week, as we have attuned into the oneness, opening up our hearts and souls, valuing ourselves, recognizing our self-worth, and really, as Dr. Rally mentioned, having compassionate for ourselves and others, opening up to our true self. We are grateful for every single blessing. Every single blessing that we have experienced since the day we were born into this lifetime, we are grateful, as we are all one, one heart, one soul, one being, oneness within the love and light of the universe. I'm grateful for you, all of you. For now, I invite you to breathe in infinite love into every cell in your body and breathe it out and give it to the whole world, for we are all one. I invite you to visit my healing practice, my website, www.spiritualityinsideandout.com, for guided meditations and downloads. And also, I do some writing, which I send out every day, Universal Daily Insights. If you're interested, you can subscribe. And as always, you can email me to infiniteloveradio@yahoo.com or michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. For now, I love you. I appreciate you eternally, as we are all one. Thank you for this opportunity again. Blessings to you. I'm Michelle Morovati. Until next week, good day, love and light. Yes to life. Bye.